Before I forget, the money changers in the temple reminds me, don't forget to pick up your raffle ticket on the way out. And the CDs. There's changes available. As reflecting on the strange sight, I always get a kind of a jolt out of Jesus making a whip and chasing people around with a whip, you know. It reminded me when I was growing up, you know, I grew up, like many of you, without a dishwasher in the house. And these days, everyone has a dishwasher, but when I was growing up, there were only two dishwashers in our family. This one and this one. I used to dry, and my mother would give me spelling lessons. It was really a lot of fun. Anyway, if you had a drying towel, it got just the right wetness, and you got just the right towel, you know, you could rev it up, you know, and a little wrist action, and you could make a real crack out of that. I got my sister out of the kitchen real quick once with that. And I don't know whether Jesus learned to crack a whip that way or not. He certainly didn't chase anybody out of the kitchen, but, you know, it's funny, though, because a lot of people, primarily those who don't go to church, I think a lot of people think Jesus has a whip in his hand, and our religion consists mostly of thou shalt nots, which we heard in the first reading, when that's so far from the case. You know, Jesus almost always is mild-mannered, but not always. Others never hear this reading and only hear Jesus as the gentle shepherd. The fact is, Jesus has various ways of approaching us, and it's up to us to invite him in because he wants to purify the temple. I think God is working very powerfully in the world in these days to purify those who are close to him and to give warnings to those who want nothing to do with him. I think we've seen a little bit more of the whip than we usually do. You know, just various things that have come and have shaken people up. I read in the paper a couple of days ago, or I read it somewhere, is that some of the largest multinational corporations that are based in America, especially oil companies, are moving from Bermuda to Switzerland to escape the income tax increases. Think about that on April 15th when you're paying your income taxes. These people and some of these CEOs and the bankers that have caused this big mess, I'd like to see somebody get a whip and chase some of them around, you know? That's what I'd like to see. And you know, they're going to get what's coming to them. God will not be cheated. This is a morality issue, isn't it? People think they can get away with anything because there's no God watching. But they've got another thing coming. This life is very short, and God has a long memory for those who won't approach him for healing and forgiveness. I think, I noticed that the Lord began to purify his church right around September 11th. You know, it was that same year. Within 12 months of that, we had all these different things going on in the Catholic Church. And you look back at it, and you realize God was purifying the temple, you know, and we have emerged stronger from that. And I think our Lord began in his own household, but I knew it wouldn't end here. That was just the beginning. Now we're seeing the purifying forces of this economic crisis that we have, which is having purifying effects in spite of the terrible, the awful effects that it seems to be causing. There are other things. I think our world is kind of on the edge of a catastrophe, and I don't just refer to economics or another thing that we have environmental issues, and we have, there was a story about a small asteroid that came between the Earth and the Moon, and nobody saw it coming. Some people were very worried about that, and other people are worried about terrorism. But there's another kind of a catastrophe that I see happening, coming, and getting worse, and that is a moral catastrophe. You cannot rebuild economic foundations. You cannot rebuild an economy on the foundations of moral degeneracy. Our country, our democracy, our economy is founded on trust. If everybody's a cheater, you can't survive. Without that foundation that we once had in this country, it cannot be rebuilt the way it was. And I think our Lord would say the same thing to our hearts. He wants to be invited in to purify the temple, but he won't come unless he is invited. When our Lord comes to his temple, he prefers to use the front door. He will knock, and we have to see the opportunities coming. One of the things, my mother started this, I don't know, I think the first newspaper that I have saved in the cedar chest is when Kennedy was assassinated, and I've been saving pertinent ones ever since then, and I put one in this week, which you probably wouldn't have put in there, but it was very interesting to me. And it was one of, I read it in something and I saved it. It was about the stem cell thing. And the headline said, "Scientists express gratitude and relief that now they're free to use taxpayer money to experiment on embryos." So now, whether I like it or not, my taxpayer money is going for this purpose. And of course, we shouldn't be surprised at this, because a society that up until very recently it was legal to kill a child in the birth canal is not going to, it won't make any difference. An embryo doesn't look like a human being. Never mind that we all started out that way. There's nobody listening. The other line in that I liked was, one scientist was quoted as saying, "Thank goodness that this decision has been taken out of the hands of politicians and churches and given to the scientists and our ethicists." You know what? I don't trust their ethicists. They found a way to get around the issue, to get what they want. And this is what sin is: getting around God's will, getting around his commandments to get that fruit that we want that's forbidden. And it's not going to stop there. I just use that as an example. It's far too complicated to discuss in a 10-minute homily. But I think our Lord, I can't change that, but I can invite the Lord to purify my heart. Now, there are several good ways that God chooses to do this. One of them is what I call contradictions. It comes when somebody tells us something that is true and it hurts. You know, it comes when my will is crossed and I have to do somebody else's will. It comes when I die to myself because I love someone. It comes when I act unselfishly. It comes when I give spontaneously, you know. It comes when somehow God contradicts what I want. Something served for dinner you don't like and you eat it without saying a word. Even have an extra helping. How about that? Wouldn't that be a great Lenten sacrifice? The group that needs to hear this is over in the next building, I think. My theory is as you get older, your taste buds wear out. My mother wouldn't believe what I'm eating now. But there are all kinds of ways that God wishes to purify us, but we usually don't see them coming. We can resist this very much. We can say, "Oh, I'm not going to pray today. I'm just tired. I'll talk to you tomorrow, God." We miss that opportunity to be purified. And God wishes to do it in mostly small ways so that when the big things come, we'll be ready for them. Another way he wishes to purify us is through the commandments. There were many good commandments there. I think if you look at it, there's one for each of us that we all tend to fall into breaking. And our Lord tells us that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If I say I love you and I don't even try to keep the commandments, I'm a liar. That's what St. John said. The one I hear broken the most often is probably, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." We hear it on TV, we hear it at work, we hear it at school. Everyone does it. Our Lord tells us this is a very serious thing and we should repent of it. If we find we've fallen into it, to immediately tell God we're sorry. This is just one example. Each of these commandments can be expanded, and it really would be a good Lenten reflection to just look at it. You know, we talked about a little bit about thou shalt not kill. One can kill others by what we say about them, you know, and sometimes by not thinking of the poor, especially in these times of crisis, am I helping them somehow? All of us should be thinking about that, unless we're on the receiving end, and then we should be grateful that God has given us something that we can grow spiritually in, as hard as it is. The third one is one that's very easily available, and that's called making a good confession. This is a sacrament that we as Catholics have. It's marvelous because it gives us a chance to hear God saying out loud through the scriptures and through his church, your sins are forgiven. And there are certain sins, especially the really serious ones of breaking the commandments, that we need to hear this. And it says, St. James says, confess your sins to one another and you will find healing. I think oftentimes when we don't go, partly it's because we don't know our own sins. We haven't taken a second to reflect on the life that we're living. And the second is, perhaps we're lacking humility. There are two penance services coming up in another week. That's an excellent opportunity to get back in the habit, you know. I think our Lord, far from wanting to use a whip, our Lord prefers to use a vacuum cleaner, you know. He wants to be invited in. I don't know if I said this or not. I think I'm losing my mind. He wants to come to the front door, but he doesn't want to stay in the living room that you've cleaned up for him. He's not going to stay there. He might see that Bible that's not open very often on the coffee table, but he wants to go not to the bedroom you fixed up for him, not the living room, but he wants to go to that room where we throw all the junk and lock the door when the guests come. And this is why people don't want Christ to come over sometimes, because he will tend to walk right over to that spot that we don't want him to go and just kind of stand there and look at it, you know. It's called our conscience, and it will begin to nag us. And this is Jesus, or through the scripture, or through a reading, through the first reading, maybe one of those commandments grabbed you. That's Jesus. He's standing in front of that door and saying, let me in. I want to help. I want to show you how to clean this. You will be happier. But we're attached to our trash. We say, yes, Lord, but not now. Yes, Lord, but let me hold on to this. He wants us to learn to let go. And when we do that, we will find happiness. So our Lord has many ways to purify his temple. The real temple he wants to purify is the hearts of those who love him. He wishes only to bring us healing. He wishes, if you will, to use a vacuum cleaner. The only time he uses a whip is when he is rejected and not allowed to come in.